I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The moment you finish eating Thanksgiving dinner, it is then Christmas time. You can Jingle Bell Rock. You can Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all you want. Play this every day at 5 o'clock. If you don't like this song, your Ebenezer Scrooge. Turn it up, Rob. Song ever. It's an amazing song. Rob, you know what? You can play Christmas music now. I'm cool with it. If at 5 o'clock you want to play Christmas music every day, that's fine with me. I'm perfectly fine with that.
You didn't want me to start back in November. I'm so confused.
It's now Christmas time. I can live with it. This is a normal time to play Christmas music. Like, why are you playing it on November 7th? Like, for what reason? Doesn't serve a purpose. If you want to play Christmas music at 5, you know what? I approve it. You just get 1 month, though. That's it. 1 month of Christmas music. That's an amazing song, though. It just makes you, just makes you happy. It makes you sway, swing back and forth. Before we get to the hits, you know how something will happen, and then you'll think to yourself, wow, that was this year? Does it not seem like Tiger Woods was in his car accident like 3 years ago? That Tiger Woods car accident was in February. So the one he just recently had in California, in which they thought he could have died and they used the jaws of life to save him. It feels like that happened 3 years ago. It happened in February. I'm watching Tiger Woods right now, and he says that he hopes to return to competition and he is okay with the reality that he won't be the same player. I'm just happy Tiger Woods is alive. I mean, that could have ended very, very differently for Tiger Woods. But yeah, that feels like it happened a really, really long time ago. And here we are. So peace and blessings to Tiger Woods as he tries to get back to 100%. I hope you had a good day at work. I know this isn't a sports topic, but we all had to do it today. This is one of the worst Mondays of the year. It's one of the worst Mondays. It might actually be the worst Monday of the year, and it's a bottom five day on the calendar. Because we all have basically just done whatever we wanted to do for the last 5 days. So, Wednesday is like the biggest party day, Rob, aside from New Year's Eve, right? Like a major day on the social calendar is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Everybody's home. Everybody goes out. It's a thing. Obviously, Thursday is Thanksgiving. You just eat and watch football and family and friends it up. Friday, a lot of people don't work. It was a company holiday, so it was never even, are you taking it off? Like, you don't work. Saturday, you're off. Sunday, you're off. And you're just eating and drinking and being merry and just having a great time. And then Sunday at 8 o'clock, it hits you. I got to go back to work. You forget your email password. Some of y'all forgot your email password. You had to do the forgot password. You then opened your email today and you had 1,000 unread emails and you were miserable today. A, you didn't want to be there. And now you got 5 days of work that have been building and piling up that now you got to do in 2 days. This is the worst Monday of the year. May, the only Monday that I think really rivals this Monday is whenever we first get back at the beginning of the year, because some people just take that whole week off. So let's say Christmas is on a Friday, right? So you take Christmas Eve off, you get Christmas off, you'll then take that whole week off, and then you got to go back to work that next Monday, miserable. I would also say it kind of depends, too, when some holidays are. So, like, let's say the 4th of July is on a Friday or a Thursday. So it's kind of like what Thanksgiving is. So you'll take those couple of days off. You'll maybe go to the lake. You'll have a good time. And then on Monday, it's on July 7th, it's back to your normal routine. And it sucks. It's even worse than today because then you got to look outside and it's 91 degrees and you're just – you want to be outside just enjoying the fun in the sun and you can't. I'm not the only one that feels this, but whenever you kind of take those days, you really need like a real one day of rest. You need like a vacation from the vacation. Like you need a day where you're eating good. You're staying hydrated. You're in the house. You're doing around the house errands to kind of clean up from the 5 days of debauchery that you've participated in. You need that one buffer day. Rob came in here, no energy today. Zero energy. Zero energy today. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't his normal self. Just a real Ebenezer Scrooge. That's the real hit number one. Is that Rob sucks? What's hit number two, Rob?
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, hit number two and on are sponsored by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio repair since 1967. They don't hate me, so they don't sponsor hit number one. Hit number two today is the biggest story in all of sports.
They might. We haven't asked them.
Yeah, that's fair. They're a company, so I'd bet it.
Can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with anything? I just want to ask you this because I was scrolling on Twitter. On your timeline, hold on, turn this down really quick. Maybe you guys know who I'm talking about. I know everybody's not on Twitter, but most people use some kind of form of social media on Facebook. Have you seen the video of that? It's like an older gentleman who's like a retired cop or serviceman that's teaching people like what to do when you get robbed. Have you seen those videos?
The one that called the cops, but not for me?
No, it's like this older guy. He kind of looks like Carl Winslow. Like he's got a Carl Winslow body type. And so like if somebody's about to like shoot you in the head or something, he'll like show you how to like Neo from Matrix disarm the guy and get away from the robber. Have you seen that guy on your timeline? Am I just making this up? I'm the only one that's seen this.
I have not seen that one. I thought you were talking about the one where it's like someone call the cops, but not for me. That guy.
Yeah, no. It so like I watched this one. He was like showing you what to do if someone tries to abduct your kid. It was the most unrealistic scenario I'd ever seen in my entire life. Maybe I'm the only one that's seen this. I'm talking to myself. So someone right now listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, oh, I've seen that guy. That guy's giving out the worst advice. Like there's not a single human being right now giving out worse advice than him. And some of you are telling you that you can cure COVID with herbs and spices. This person's giving out worse advice than those individuals. That's all. I don't have anything else on it. I'm sorry, Rob, for derailing the show with something you never heard of.
Did you just say you can cure COVID with herbs and spices?
Some people are telling people that. Some people are telling them that you can cure COVID with mind power and oregano. That's what they're telling you can cure COVID with. You won't catch COVID if you rub this on your wrist and rub them together. Like, that's what people are telling them.
Two.
And they got all that information from two Facebook memes.
And noted doctor, Joe Rogan. Well, the biggest news story in the world today is a surprising move. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley is head to be the coach at USC. Is officially official. He is the news conference is happening right now in Southern Cal. CDOT, were you surprised that Lincoln Riley jumped ship to head west?
I was actually really surprised. I thought if he was going to leave Oklahoma, he was only going to leave it for the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes coming up in 5 minutes. I was really surprised. I will say this, and this is what really bothered me. If Oklahoma doesn't feel confident about them being able to compete in the SEC, how is Missouri ever going to compete in that conference? Oklahoma hasn't had a bad season in 50 years. They got boys running from the grind. They don't want no smoke, no problems. They announced they was going to the SEC, and Lincoln Riley took the first plane smoking out of Norman, Oklahoma. If they're worried about their ability to compete, what does that say about my team, who isn't anywhere close to Oklahoma? This also goes to my theory, Rob, that every college fan opposite like 5 or 6 think that their team should be in a tier higher than what they actually are. Oklahoma is a strong 8. USC is a 10. USC is the best job in the country. So I'm not surprised if USC offers you the bag that you would take the bag. It's easier to recruit there. It's a clearer path to the college football championship. A better athletic department, a better and stronger alumni base. USC is the best college football job in the country.
Hit number two today is very simple. Yesterday, a lot of crazy stuff happened in the NFL, but one team on a bye week here in Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs, stayed above the fray. Carrington's been a revolving door on who we think the best team in the NFL is, but after everything that happened yesterday in the Chiefs' bye week, do you believe now the Kansas City Chiefs are creme de la creme yet again in the NFL?
Rob, cut the beat. I was wrong. Like, not even, I wasn't even kind of right. Like, not even a little, not even a speck of rightness about the AFC West. Ever since I started bigging up the Chargers, they've done nothing but fall apart. Ever since I said the Chiefs wouldn't win their division and they would only be a wild card team, the Chiefs morphed into the best team in the league. You guys really should be thanking me for my contribution. Someone had to do it. Someone had to be the one to motivate this team. Think of all the people and what they said about the Chiefs over the first 8-9 weeks of the season. It didn't really resonate until I said something. Ryan Clark was calling Patrick Mahomes broken. It was me, though. I did this. If they win the Super Bowl, it will be because of my words and my hard work and my sacrifice. And I hope you guys notice and appreciate it. I don't get nearly enough credit for the things I do here, but I'm humble. Whataburger, thank you. You're welcome. Turning the Chiefs season around. If I had to give you my top 3 teams in the league today, I think it's Kansas City 1, New England 2, Green Bay 3. I think those are the 3 best teams in the league. None of that would have been possible without my sacrifice in switching my pick from the Chargers. And I want you guys to recognize that. That's all I want. So you can call me Charger Dot. That's fine. And I got to wear that and I got to own it and I accept it. But at least acknowledge that what I did spurred the Chiefs into turning back into champions. That my message and my words rang true with your Kansas City Chiefs. That's it for the hits. We have no more hits today. It's time to catch up with Patrick Mahomes. Hit it, Rob.
He's a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP.
Mahomes throws for the end zone. The pass caught. Wide open touchdown. Kansas City.
And there's only one place in Kansas City.
Mahomes got it long for the end zone. Wide open touchdown. Kansas City.
And the only one place in the country.
That's what's great about the NFL. You keep building and trying to play your best football going into the playoffs and try to get to the Super Bowl.
That talks with Patrick Mahomes every week. And that's right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our conversations with the quarterback are powered by Google Fiber. Our conversation with the quarterback started with a very simple, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. You know, I got to spend some time with the fam and get to hang around Sterling. So it was a good off week.
Once football kind of transitions for you, like it's football season, you are 100% locked in and dialed in, but obviously it's the bye week and it's the holiday. How do you kind of turn the football side of your brain off to kind of enjoy 3 or 4 days off to spend time with family?
Yeah, it's hard, definitely. I think the best thing about having it on that Thanksgiving week is there's a lot of games and stuff going on, football, basketball, stuff like that. And so for me, it was just getting away, watching those games, watching the Thanksgiving games, obviously, and just kind of being with the fam. I mean, you miss some time when you're in season with a baby growing up. So getting to spend a full week with her was awesome.
Are you a real cranberry sauce guy or a fake cranberry sauce?
I'm not a big cranberry sauce guy at all, so that might be headlining news there. But you know me, man. Usually ketchup and nothing else. So I don't throw it on all my Thanksgiving food, but I throw it on a little bit of stuff.
How many plates did you have on Thanksgiving?
I kept it to like 1 3/4. So I went 1 early, and then I obviously you got to get the seconds. But I try to keep the seconds to a minimal, so I wasn't coming back to 2:40 or whatever it would be coming back to Kansas City. So I made sure to keep it at a minimal on the second plate.
I'm just going to tell you that my move is kind of plate nap. Like, that's kind of like you and Travis Kelce, a great 1-2 punch, plate nap, and then another plate, and then I go home after that. That's kind of my Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, no, you have to – I didn't take the nap, but I was definitely on the couch just laying there playing with Sterling and watching a little bit of football. And then obviously when it comes to that night game time, you have to go in and get one more play just to make sure that you got everything on the whole meal.
Right now we're talking to quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of food, what do you make of the local success of Whataburger? It had its most successful 24-hour opening in Lee Summit. There's another location that opened up today in Independence. It seemed like Kansas City really loves themselves some Whataburger.
Yeah, no, I think they definitely wanted to get out there and try it out. I mean, there was so much hype coming into it, and I'm excited for it, man. I mean, I'm glad to have it. I've made my way over there very secretively and gotten a few things here and there, especially on that bye week. But it's definitely something that I'm glad it's in Kansas City, and Kansas City embraces it just like we do down in Texas.
I do want to ask you this. So this year I had my 15-year high school reunion. So we didn't have one for 10. We had one for 15. And the most popular question I was asked is, what is it like to talk to you? So I'm curious, whenever you're around your friends, do they ask you, what is it like to talk to me?
No, we don't talk about all the special celebrities. They keep it just to football guys like Travis Kelce. They don't ever get around to talking about our conversations. So you're on a list a little bit higher than all those other guys.
I was just telling people that you and I are great BFFs and that we hang out all the time, and everybody was super impressed.
Oh, yeah, you have to, man. I don't know when my high school reunion would be, but they've got a couple more years till it. But I'm excited to go back. I still talk to a lot of those people, so it will be a lot of fun.
I can't think of anything as cool as being tweeted by LeBron James. What was it like when you saw yesterday that he actually tweeted you back?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've talked to him a couple times now and kind of built a little bit of a friendship there. I mean, obviously, I have a ton of respect for the guy, but it was just kind of a spur of the moment tweet. I was just sitting there playing with Sterling, and I was like, man, this is cool being able to see a little you just kind of growing up. And so I kind of tweeted that out, and then he obviously feels the same. I mean, he has a couple sons and a daughter that are all great athletes and great people. So I know it's just a cool moment to be a dad and be able to see a little you growing up.
I just like how you casually say that you talked to LeBron James a couple of times. Like, you know that that's not normal, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched him growing up. So, I mean, he was someone that I watched growing up my whole entire life, pretty much, and him dominating, and he's still dominating the league. And so it definitely was a surreal moment to talk to him the first time that you meet him and know he's just kind of – he's a real dude. I mean, just like everyone else. And, I mean, just kind of building that relationship, got some advice from him. He's a great guy.
Do you and Brittany talk about what sports Sterling is going to play? Because I know my daughter's mom and I – we don't want my daughter to play any outside sports. Like, we want her to play like basketball and volleyball because it's indoors, so we never have to deal with the elements. Is that a conversation that you and Brittany have?
we do a little bit. I mean, obviously she's going to play soccer. I mean, just with Brittany and our love for soccer, I'm sure she'll be out there kicking it around a little bit. But I say that I want her to play golf. And so I told Brittany she better learn how to play golf, because me and Sterling are going to be going out there ever since whenever she's able to swing a club. I'm going to take her out to the golf course. We're going to figure it out. And she'll probably be better than me by like age 15.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes on the show. I was going to tell you this, that now you are officially a resident of Kansas City. Like, you've done a lot of stuff for the city, and we'll talk about the 15 of the Mahomes and the gala and everything, but you were at a disappointing playoff loss in Kansas City. That makes you a true Kansas City citizen at this point.
Yeah, man, that one hurt. I mean, I have so much respect for those guys over at Sporting. They train their butt off, man. They have those long seasons, and they come down to single elimination games. And they played well. They had a great season overall, and I'm proud of those guys. I mean, definitely not the way they wanted it to end, but something they can build on going into the future.
What's like the greater high or the greater low? Is it the pain after the loss or the excitement after a big win?
They go hand in hand, man. I mean, it's just from going to the Super Bowl and winning it, and feeling that feeling of just pure excitement of all that hard work you put in every single day paying off. And then going there and losing it, it definitely, they're, you can't comprehend both of those. I mean, they're both just feelings that you'll never get again. One's great, one's horrible, but it makes that greater one a little bit sweeter, hopefully, when you get it the next time.
Speaking of the city and doing things, you guys had a really cool 15 in the Mahomes Gala. I know you're really prideful of your team success, your own personal success, and everything that you're doing. You also have a great sense of pride of your place in the community and also making Kansas City a better place.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. To see the support that Kansas City has given me to kind of have this platform and be able to give back to them, it makes me proud every single day. And having those galas, seeing those smiles and those kids' faces and driving past the MLK Park every single day, I mean, it makes me proud, and it's something that I'm truly, truly grateful for.
What are your goals with the 15 of the Mahomes? Because we've seen LeBron built the I Promise School, Indianapolis. Peyton Manning has a children's hospital. Like, this is your home now. You're going to be here for the rest of your life. What more do you want to accomplish with 15 of the Mahomes?
I mean, there's so much more. I mean, the fact that we've been able to do the things that we've done so far, it just kind of gives me that hunger to keep doing more. And I think with this community, I mean, there's really no limitations on what we can do. And I'm going to keep giving back. I'm going to keep doing what I can, and hopefully I have something like I Promise School or the Children's Hospital with Peyton Manning. I mean, I want to do as much as I possibly can to help this community.
I have two football questions to ask you. I know it's the bye week, so it's sort of that transition kind of from, you know, your life to more what's happening on the field. I was thinking this yesterday as I'm watching the NFL. Do you think that people like myself and fans overreacted to the first 2 months of the season? Because now, looking at where you guys sit in the AFC, looking at how up and down the NFL has been, sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold, sometimes you're up and you're down, but you really got to play it out for a full 17 weeks. Do you feel like maybe there was an overreaction to you guys' start of the season?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think the biggest thing is the season is a very long thing. I mean, people try to kind of group it together and say every week's such an important week. I mean, every week is important, but it's over a long amount of time. And so I think it wasn't overreaction, because we usually start off hot. We usually win a lot of games early. But if you look at every season that we've had, there's always been a little bit of spell where we weren't playing our best football and we've had to figure out ways to get better. And I think that just happened a lot earlier this season, and it's made us better in this long run. And hopefully we can keep that momentum going, because we have a tough couple games coming up, and try to keep that momentum going into the playoffs.
I think this is going to be like a no S Sherlock moment just for me telling you this, but man, the NFL is hard. Winning consistently at a really high level the way that you guys have done is hard. And the way you watch teams that got off to a really hot start, but then injury happens and they've kind of fallen back, or just things that happen over the course of the season, it's just hard to consistently play at a 800% winning clip the way that you guys have for the last 2.5-3 years.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it takes a lot. There's a lot of factors in winning this league. But, I mean, if you go into every single day and try to make yourself better and continue throughout the process, no matter win or lose, you can settle on the fact that you go out there and give everything you have. And I think that's what we have on this team. There's a lot of guys that just continue to work, continue to get better and better, and go into each and every week knowing that we're going to give everything we have, and hopefully that ends up with wins, and we can try to be where we want to be at the end of the season.
I know you guys take it one game, one week at a time, but is it difficult to not look at you guys have an 11-day stretch of the other three teams in the division and where you could possibly be sitting at the end of that stretch if you guys play the football that you're capable of.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we understand it. I mean, division games, this is what we talk about. The first thing we walk in the building is trying to win the AFC West. So we understand how important these games are going to be. But it's like you said, it takes one day at a time. I mean, everyone in our division has a chance at it. So, I mean, everybody's going to give us the best shot. And we got to go in there with our best games every single week if we want to try to win each of these games one game at a time.
Last question here, talking to Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday, I feel like the biggest story in sports had nothing to do with the NFL, and it was Lincoln Riley making the transition from Oklahoma to USC. What's your reaction to that big, big story?
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I mean, he's had so much success at Oklahoma. He beat up on me a couple times there. You were very surprised. But, I mean, I'm sure he's doing what's best for him and his family. He has a few disappointed Kansas City Chiefs, I know, over here from Oklahoma. So, but, I mean, I'm sure they'll get a coach in there and still be Oklahoma. So, hopefully it gives us a little green light. Texas Tech can kind of have a little run at this thing here.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearances are brought to you by Google Fiber. Patrick, always good catching up with you, man. Glad you had a great Thanksgiving, and take care, man.
Appreciate you.
That is the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. His appearances are powered by Google Fiber. Coming up on the other side, I have one Chiefs take about Mecole Hardman. I have another one where I praise my nemesis, Brett Veach. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, this is our plan for the final 30 minutes of the show. I have two Chiefs thoughts. I will share them with you. You won't want to miss them. They're some of the best Chiefs thoughts you'll ever hear. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will head to Norman, Oklahoma, and we will play sports talk radio calls of them reacting to Lincoln Riley leaving them in the dust. You will want to hear it. I was on the internet earlier today, and I saw people posting message boards post how people wanted Lincoln Riley arrested for taking away state employees. They are not handling it very well. We will play some of our favorite phone calls coming up in just a little bit. All right. I have two all-time Chiefs thoughts, Robs, that I would like to share. Number one is about Mecole Hardman. Why do you think, or what's stopping him from turning into Cordarrelle Patterson? If you look at Cordarrelle Patterson, he has turned into a true all-purpose positionless player. Like, we throw that term gadget player out there around, all right, like, right? We throw around gadget player. I don't know if there's a better gadget player in the league more than Cordarrelle Patterson. He has 400 yards rushing on 90 carries, so he's involved in the running game. He also has 500 yards receiving. He's going to have 700 yards apiece, both rushing and receiving, this season and score double-digit touchdowns. Now, I understand that he's just a bigger person than Mecole Hardman is. Cordarrelle Patterson, 6'2", 220. That's not what Mecole Hardman is. But the Falcons had a very unique offensive player and have built an offense or a role for him in the offense that utilizes his diverse skill set. Wasn't Hardman a running back before he transitioned to wide receiver back at Georgia? Like, he had only played wide receiver for a couple of years, and he had primarily played running back. Why don't they try to get him more involved in the running game? For a while there, they were sort of using those gadget plays, those end around, those jet sweeps, those toss plays, and trying to kind of infuse him into the offense. What this offense could really use is another dynamic big play player. And I still will maintain that the best person in their offense, aside from the obvious choices, is Mecole Hardman. And instead of, I think, really trying to figure out his role, they've basically eliminated his role the last 2 weeks. So 3 weeks ago now against the Las Vegas Raiders, he played 24 snaps. It was 30% of their offensive possession or plays. Against the Cowboys, he played in only 12 offensive plays. That was 18% of their offense. So they have moved away from him. They're giving Josh Gordon a little bit more of an opportunity, but not really targeting him and using him the way that I think people thought he was going to be whenever he originally signed. What's stopping Mecole Hardman from being Cordarrelle Patterson, in your opinion?
I think the size is the biggest thing, but I would argue the Chiefs are already treating him like Cordarrelle Patterson. That's my thought. Because outside of the pure runs, the turnaround and hand the ball off, which they do in Atlanta, everything you're talking about with Patterson, the Chiefs do with Mecole Hardman. We had the stat earlier in the year. I forget if it was like week two or week three. Maybe week four, somewhere in there. Where he had all of his catches on pop passes behind the line of scrimmage. They use him in the screen game. They use him in the reverse game. They use him in those pop passes. He's not a traditional wide receiver. They're already using him like this. I think the Chiefs are resigned to the fact that he's basically Cordarrelle Patterson. And I think the reason they chased and got Josh Gordon and chased and flirted with OBJ is because they've accepted that we have that on our team. This is Diet Debo Samuel. This is Diet Right Debo Samuel. That's what Cordarrelle Patterson is, and that's what Mecole Hardman is. I think they've accepted this reality already.
It does appear that they've accepted it. And I will say, just judging the text line, you guys have turned on Hardman quick. And I'm not saying he hasn't deserved it, and he certainly hasn't lived up to expectation or played at a high enough level. We're still talking about one of the best offensive minds in the history of the league. We're still talking about a team that has a Hall of Fame quarterback. We're talking about one of the, what, 5-10 fastest players in the league? They can't figure out a role for him in this offense that fits. There's no role for Mecole Hardman in this offense. Because teams said the same thing about Cordarrelle Patterson for 7 years. He hasn't been this player for the last 6 or 7 years. He's kind of bounced around from team to team. He played in Minnesota for the first 4 years, then was on the Raiders, then was on the Patriots. The Patriots couldn't figure out and make it work. He then went to the Bears. Now he's gone to Atlanta. He's 30, and he's now having the best season of his career. He's also getting an opportunity more than he's ever been given before. There was a time where I remember we felt like you could put anybody in this offense, surrounded them by Andy Reid and all this talent, and they could make it work. They haven't made it work with anybody. Not at a high enough level. We don't know if Mecole Hardman's body can hold up with the rushes. They've never really committed to giving him the ball in that scenario. They don't give him the ball. He's carried it 5 times for this team. He's carried it 5 times. Who do you have a better chance of getting a big play out of the running game with, Mecole Hardman or Jerick McKinnon at this point?
I mean, based on usage.
The answer's probably Hardman.
Yeah, based on usage, Hardman.
The answer's probably Hardman. Who do you think is probably better suited for what they want to do running the football, Derek Gore or Mecole Hardman? I still think the answer is Mecole Hardman.
I mean, I guess the argument in Derek Gore's favor for that scenario is that mostly because of lack of usage, we don't know that he has a fumble problem. We kind of know Mecole Hardman has a fumble problem, but outside of ball security, I 100% agree with you. But I think ball security can get fixed. Remember when Jamaal Charles couldn't hold on to the ball? It gets fixed over time.
It does. I'm just sitting there watching, and I'm looking at their skill set, and I'm just trying to figure out how they're just hasn't really been more of a push to kind of, you know, make this thing work. Like, it just hasn't really come together.
Is Mecole Hardman just DeAnthony Thomas, but bigger?
I think the better comparison is probably Tavon Austin.
That's probably fair.
Like, I think he's Tavon Austin, but I mean, if that's the case, then like we're just really wasting our time. Cause I would say like Tavon Austin is just always kind of been a name. He had a decent stretch with the Rams. Now, probably not with where they drafted him. Like you draft a player with the 8th overall pick the way that they did. And he never had a season with 1,000 total yards when you combine rushing and receiving. Like, he's just never really had that kind of year. But if that's what we're comparing Tavon Austin, then you think he's, I don't want to call him a worthless player in the league, but I mean, the last 5 years of receiving for Tavon Austin. Five. So, dating about 2017, 47 yards, 140, 177, 20, and 106. If that's what we think Mecole Hardman is, then he's just a guy at this point. He's just a guy. I think he's a little bit better than just a guy. A little bit better. A little bit better than that. And I don't know if they've maybe fully... I think they really wanted Mecole Hardman to be a strong number two wide receiver. And he's just not. The same way that Cordarrelle Patterson is not your number two receiver. He's never going to be your team's number two receiver. He's a football player. Darren Sproles was not good enough to be your number one running back, not good enough to be your number two wide receiver. But he was a really productive player. And they're the same size. Darren Sproles and Mecole Hardman are not that much different in stature. And teams figured out how to use Darren Sproles. Sean Payton figured out how to use Darren Sproles. They've never figured out how to use Mecole Hardman. Which is odd for who we think is the best offensive play caller in the league. One of the greatest offensive minds ever. They spent a high luxury piece or a high luxury asset on a player, and I don't know if they've ever really used that player correctly. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Norman, Oklahoma. You will want to hear what Sooners fans are saying about Lincoln Riley. It's funny. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I'm going to try to make this analogy in like a very PC understanding way. And I think you guys will get it. Chiefs fans to me are like a lot like women in relationships. This is what I mean, Rob. You've probably been in a relationship before and you've done some like messed up stuff, right? And if that woman cares about you, she'll put up with a lot of your BS, right? She'll put up with a lot of BS. But eventually, her patience will run out. And then once she's done, she's done. No flowers is going to get her back. No song, no apology. Like, you've burned up too many of your good chances, right? Chiefs fans, that's how y'all cheat. That's how you guys treat draft picks for the Chiefs. Like, Mecole Hardman, there was a time there y'all was riding with Mecole when I would say there was no evidence to suggest it was going to work as a wide receiver. Oh, stop being negative. Trust. I can't believe you. You guys were riding hard for Mecole Hardman. Hard for Mecole Hardman. That's over for you guys. It's over. He's lost you. You lost your base. You can't lose your base. You guys will ride with people for a long time. I'll give Kansas City that. But once you guys are done, it's done. Like, you remember the first, like, year of Frank Clark? You would think that Frank Clark was getting triple-teamed every game. You guys will come up with some stuff if it's somebody you like. But when y'all done, oh, it's over. Like, Mecole now has just zero value on the text line. Zero value on the text line.
I mean, every once in a while, a player breaks the hate train. Remember, I remember when everyone hated Chris Jones. He can't stop the run. His PFF grade's no good. Blah, blah, blah. The minute he got paid, he became everyone's fan favorite.
See, I don't know if there ever was a hatred for Chris Jones. I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair.
No one wanted him paid.
I would say, though, up until that 2018 year, people were skeptical of Chris Jones. That's the term I would use. I would say they were skeptical of Chris Jones. Then he had 2018, and I will disagree with you there. I think once 2018 happened, he then became the second best defensive lineman behind Aaron Donald, and Chiefs fans have just like never reevaluated it. Like never reevaluated it. So I will disagree with you there. I think you're mischaracterizing Chiefs fans. I don't think that's what happened.
You're right. I probably misspoke. He was trending toward...
Don't do that again when it comes to Chiefs fans. I have to be their defender.
He was trending toward the hate camp. He had a great season, and now it's just he's the best ever. But it's now overcorrected a little bit, too. Like, when he was at DN, people were saying he might win Defensive Player of the Year. That was some nonsense.
What do you think X Factor did for Thanksgiving?
I mean, the Raiders were in Dallas, right?
They were.
He's a super fan there now.
If you had to watch the Chiefs game with Jason Brown, who was the coach at Independence Community College from Last Chance U, or X Factor, who would you pick to watch the game with?
Jason Brown, because at least we'd have some whiskey, have a nice time.
You have some whiskey with X Factor?
Yeah, I feel like he would. I think he admitted he was on harder drugs. I'm not in the mood for all that. Okay. Am I Thanksgiving?
I just was curious. It popped in my head to ask you that question.
Who would you take? You'd obviously take.
Yeah, Jason Brown. That's my guy.
This is your guy.
He follows me on Twitter and we talk from time to time. That's my guy.
He should take the Oklahoma job. He'd be perfect.
Okay, well, I don't know if Oklahoma Tech would take Jason Brown as their coach. I don't know.
What's that, community college in Oklahoma? There's one up in the near Tulsa. I forget what it is. You don't think they'd take him?
I don't know. There was a junior college, so I went to school in Joplin, and there was NEO.
That's one thing of
Northeastern
Oklahoma.
Yeah. That was in Miami, Oklahoma, and that's where I used to go to the casino.
Mm.
They used to have a casino called Buffalo Run, and they had High Winds Casino on the Indian Reservation, and it was a great time. Have you ever been to a small town casino?
Yes. You just live in Oklahoma, so yes.
One of the most depressing places in America.
What time did you go?
You realize, I would say that there's three kinds of casinos in this country. There's three kinds. There's kinds like in Kansas City. Like Harrah's is nice. Argosy's nice. Hollywood is nice. There's like middle tier casino, you know? I would say that's like a 3-star hotel. Not the best. Not the worst. Just a normal casino, right? Then there's the casinos in Vegas. If you're on the Strip, all amazing places. Doesn't matter which one you're at. All amazing places. Then there's small town casino. Those are depressing. I saw depressing. I saw High Winds Casino. I saw Buffalo Run Casino. I actually went to a Friday night fights at Buffalo Run Casino. Small town casino is where dreams and hopes go to die. They go to die there. There's no more depressing place in this country than a small town casino.
I mean, it really depends on what time of day you go. Because like, if it's like
any time,
if it's like seven,
it's depressing.
If it's like 7 o'clock at night, you can at least understand why it's full. Go when the sun's out. That's peak depression.
Someone said there was a casino in Pittsburgh, Kansas, just down the road from Pitt State. I spent many a nights there losing rent money. I'm trying to tell you, small town casino, where dreams and hopes go to die. No one has ever had fun in a small town casino. Ever. And the most anybody wins is $37. No one has ever won real money in a small town casino. Ever. Not one single time. Anytime they show you that someone won the jackpot, it's a made up. It's a fictional story.
To be fair, if someone won the jackpot, everyone would have seen it. All 8 people are regulars.
Oh, yeah. Just smoky.
When the people who run dealers know the people's names, you're like, oh boy.
Oh yeah.
You sit down, they're like, you're gonna sit next to Joe, huh? Oh God.
Anytime the casino is like cheers for you, you gotta call the bets offline. You got to. You don't wanna be the regular at the casino, bro. You don't. I'm telling you, you don't wanna be that. The moment you start recognizing people and you guys got a community, that's not what you want, man. That's not what you want, I'm telling you. We laughing, but it's not funny. It's not funny at all. I got to play this Lincoln Riley. There's someone that has been waiting for the last 6 minutes for me to play this, and they're really mad I haven't played it.
This is devastating. Like, especially after just yesterday, how that game ended with the no calls on the pass interference. It's kicking it when it's down. Like, he wasn't lying about not going to LSU, but man, he's a snake in the grass. This is almost as bad as KD leaving. Like, 100% almost as bad as KD leaving.
Hold on, we got to go back. I don't have any. Someone said small town strip clubs are worse. I disagree. Maybe I haven't been to enough, so I don't know. Small town casino is worse than small town strip club. Small town strip club is fun with the right people. It's fun. Small town strip club's still fun. Small town casino is not fun.
You're the guy that told me, like, the Oklahoma City ones or whatever got to be terrible. Go to Houston or Atlanta. Go to creme de la creme. And you're out here telling me that Pittsburgh,
well,
Kansas cooking?
I honestly just think it depends on what kind of music you like. Like, the kind of music that I want to hear at these establishments and the kind of music that you want to hear, like, I don't want to hear Pour Some Sugar on Me at the strip club. That's not the music that I want to hear. That sounds miserable to me. That sounds miserable to me. I'm not interested in hearing that kind of music at the strip club. There's like a couple of different kinds of strip club experiences. It's a real Two Americas kind of thing. It's a real Two Americas kind of thing. I can't imagine getting a lap dance to Sweet Caroline. That just doesn't do it for me. I don't want to hear Warrant in the club. I don't want to hear Cherry Pie at the strip club. No, I don't have any interest in that. That seems miserable. Miami, Oklahoma had sensations. 25-cent lap dances. You can have a bad time? 25 cents? How can you have a bad time if that happens? It's impossible for you to have an amazing time.
I mean, we're throwing quarters, making it hail. That's that sounds like a first class trip.
I'm just telling
problem.
You can't have a bad time if that's what it is. It's also most of the time it's BYOB too. Yeah, you're tripping. Like, for real tripping. This was maybe the worst toss-up we've ever had.
This is exactly how we planned in the show.
I mean, it was also the best toss-up we've ever had, but it's maybe the worst.
Back at 1:48 when we planned the show, according to some, we had this we had this locked in for 5:55.
Sometimes I just leave the show open. Ideas will hit me, you know? Ideas like this one, they'll just hit me. Bink is up next. I'm out of here. I'm happy to be back, man. I just feel so much better. The cough syrup is really working. The Sudafed's been working for me. We're gonna have a great 3 weeks here. This is a really important stretch for the Chiefs. We're out of here. This is a drive.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.